this morning, you guys, Pastor wanted me, like I said, she wanted me, she said she loves to, on Pentecost, she loves to exhort the church. And I hope to encourage you. I hope the word will encourage you. And but don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here, because I'm hoping that you will feel that through this you'll feel convicted, you'll feel sorrowful, you'll feel broken, and that you will feel unworthy as you hear. But all that is going to bring us to the end of what I have here, this what God has this morning. So through all that, because by the end of the my prayer is that you will all be filled and empowered to receive and to be transformed by the promise. Because that's my title of my message, is the promise. The promise was given to us. That's what Pentecost was. Jesus went away. He said, the Father said, I will send you a comforter. I will send you my spirit. And that was where the birthing of the church came, because they waited in the upper room. The disciples were up in the upper room and they waited for the Lord. And they waited for that promise to come. The promise. Now in Acts chapter 2, if you want to open your Bibles to 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm kind of a little nervous, you guys, so I'll be thirsty a lot. So be patient with me, please. But in Acts chapter 2, it reads, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When that came, that was the birthing of the church as we are today. Over 2,000 years ago it's been. And here we are today still serving, working for the Lord, for this kingdom. And it came so that we could be witnesses to the world. We have the Holy Spirit in us. God gave us that promise so that we could be a witness for God in this world to the lost. Now, but we needed that to the world, but we needed the promise. But why? Why did we need that promise? And the promise was sent to give us power. It was sent to give us power. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and 8, but 4 and 5 says, and being assembled together with them, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost many days hence. But in verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says we will be a witness for him. He said he will give us power. And Jerusalem, Samaria, and all that is here, right now where we're at. It doesn't mean we have to go back to Jerusalem. It means we're right here. We have every race and creed you can think of in this world that's right here right now. And we are to be a witness. And you will be that witness with the power that God has promised us. The promise. Ah, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me to articulate it the way you gave me, Father. And in Acts chapter 2, Lord. Sorry, Vato. I can't. Roman tried to tell me, he teased me. He says, no crying. I said, no promises there, bro. Sorry. Sorry. But it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." God knows all that are coming to him. He knows. He knows. Those of you that are here right now, you're here because God has brought you here. He has brought you this far. You are gotten to receive the promise, and we have that power. We have it. But sometimes we wonder, where is that power? Why are we not seeing it? We see some miracles, we see some things, but we have loved ones that still, you know, aren't saved. I have a brother dealing with cancer, you know, and why, God, why haven't you healed, you know? And we wonder sometimes, where is that power, Father? You said it's a promise of God. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man that he would lie. Now, I've made promises in my life, and I've broken them. I've not kept my promises, all of them. Some of you may have. I have not. But our God has never, ever broken a promise to us. Ever. But the key word is if, though. If we abide in him, and he in us, the world is ours for the kingdom. But see, that's the word is if. If it's there. But I think sometimes we rely too much on ourselves. I rely sometimes too much on myself. And I look at my abilities, my shortcomings, my lack. You know, I say to myself, well, but Lord, you know, we come together. I come to church all the time. You know, I worship. I give my tithes and I give my offerings, you know. I'm a teacher, you know. We do all these things. And we wonder, why, Lord, but why are we not seeing that power that you promised us in the promise? And I think sometimes, this is just my own interpretation, my own belief on it. I think sometimes we're not fearful of God or in awe of the promise that he's given us. I think sometimes we take it for granted. I take it for granted because it's like, I know God's with me. I know God will do these things. But sometimes it's like, but Lord, I'm gonna help out. I'm gonna do this. I feel to do this. And it could be good, but if God's not unctioning you to do it, it will fail. And that's what some of, in the Bible, that's what they talked about too. Even the priests were saying, you know, they tell them to be quiet. But he said, no, if it fails, if it's not of God, it will fall. It's failed before, so it will do it again. But I think what happens, though, with that promise that God gives us is that we become familiar. When you become familiar with people, you tend to kind of, I know how he is. I know how they are. You know, that's not really what it means. And we get familiar. I know what God's wanting to do. I know what he's saying. And that familiarity, I think sometimes fogs our vision a little bit. And I looked it up in the dictionary. I wanted to kind of try to look intelligent, but I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm just a servant. So, but I looked it up in familiarity, and it says in familiarity, one of them is through knowledge or mastery of a thing. Or a subject. Thorough knowledge or mastery of a thing, subject, etc. That's what familiarity brings. It also brings an absence of ceremony and formality. Informality. So sometimes we tend to come into the house of God and just come in and, you know, we're just at church, you know, I just show up. I show up with the expectations of that promise that he said that I have. He says that promise is me, it dwells in me. I have it. And I want to see the fullness of it working in the church. The fullness of it isn't the fact that we are saved. That's part of it. But we're to be a witness. He says he wants us to be a witness for him. A witness. What's a witness? in the courts of the world, in the courts, a witness is somebody that testifies against someone, whether guilt or innocence, but they're a witness for that person. They're a witness of what they saw, what happened. Same thing applies with the Word of God. We either believe the gospel to be the truth, we follow this walk that we walk in, it's either is or it isn't in our life. And for me, it is. It is everything for me. And because of where I came from, what I've seen and what I've been through, it is so real. And I'm sure everyone here could have a testimony of that. And you don't have to be someone that goes to jail or someone that has all these kind of issues and problems. It just, life. I saw a sign that said, struggle is real. The struggle is real, but so is my God. So is my God. So is my God. So, this promise that I'm talking of is Jesus. I'm sure you know. I'm not giving you anything you don't know. The promise is Jesus. And this promise, it came at a cost for us to have it. It's a free gift for each and every believer. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. But it cost my Jesus his life. He shed his blood. He lives, but he paid the price for us to have that power to be a witness for him in this world. Today, Pentecost, that's why this church is here. Not because of us, not because Landmark, not because of all of us that are here right now. It's Jesus, his presence. We're in the church. We come assembled together. We're in this building, but when we leave here, we're still the church. We're more the church when we get out there, because guess what? Here I feel strength. Why? Because I have my brothers and sisters that agree with me, that believe with me, that will stand with me. So I'm here in my family. So I feel safe. I feel strength. But when we go out into the world, here comes the devil. Here comes all those attacks, all those demons. But you have power. I hope that you recognize that you have the power of God. You have Jesus in you to overcome the world. Now, God, he saved me from myself, which was awesome. But he didn't take out all my little quirks. See, I used to be a little scrapper, you know, a little bit. But I still scrap today, but not in flesh, but in my spirit. I pray. I wrestle with things. It's like this, the word. I wrestled that, Lord, I want to bring your word, Lord, to your people, Father, for they're your people. Many are more qualified than I, Lord, but God. The qualifying. Well, Jesus, Lord. We win the loss. It is our command to go out and preach the gospel. Win the loss. Because it's not about I'm a good singer. Not about I can teach, or that I'm an usher, or whatever you may be. It's not about all that. All that is good. But Jesus died for the lost. He died for the lost. That all that will matter in the end. That is all that's going to matter in the end. He's not going to care how beautiful we sound when he's got angels singing around him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He's surrounded by angels. So it's not our voice. God knows everything. He's all sufficient, almighty, all powerful. So it's not about our knowledge of what we know. It is truly about his presence, his Holy Spirit, that he gives us freely to those that will. And it's up to us, church. It doesn't fall on pastor. I know sometimes we think, oh, well, pastor, do it. Let all them. But no. No. I'm sorry. You will stand before God as I will. We will all stand before God. And he's not going to really be concerned about how much money you gave at tithing or how much faithful you were to the church. He wants to know, did you tell those that were lost, that I died for, that I paid that price for? Did you tell them I was coming back? Did you tell them I love them? Did you tell them I paid that price willingly, knowing you would slap me away, knowing that you would not, I don't need God, familiarity, I'm okay, I'm good, my life is good. No. Jesus. And you might think that none of us, I'm not qualified, Brother Art, I'm not qualified. I don't have degrees. I don't have, none of us are qualified. Not one. But what qualifies us is the promise. The promise is what qualifies us. We are all certified, qualified by the promise, Jesus, by his blood, by his saving grace, his mercies. We are all qualified. There's no excuse for it. You don't need to go to Bible college. You don't, and all this is good. All of it is good. You don't need to be a frontliner. You don't need to be a teacher. You don't, you know, which we need all those things. But that's not that what qualifies you. You were qualified because he paid the price. He said, "Lord, send me. I'll go. I wouldn't die for just anybody." But he did. He died for me at my worst. Think about it for a second. Just briefly, think about your worst moment. Your worst time in your life where you were at, Jesus said, "I'm dying for you. I love you. I love you." At your worst now. I'm not talking about your best. But we all look good. We all look good when we dress up. But at your worst, when you felt like no one cared, no one needed you, no one believed in you, but he did. He believed in me. He believed in me. So, today, like I say, you guys, Pentecost, I told Pastor, it's not going to be long. She says, "Oh, you take your time, Brother." Right? I said, "Pastor, it's not going to be long because it has to be God. And I want the Lord to move. I want him to move." I'm going to ask, because the disciples, when the promise came, they all wondered and they asked. Here in verse 37, chapter 2, verse 37, he says, let me go up to 36. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And you might ask, what do we do? What do I do, Brother Art? We're here. What am I to do? Peter told them to repent. To repent. Now, when we hear repent, we get all spooked and thinking, "Oh my God, everybody's going to look at me because they're going to think I'm not saved. They're going to, you know." And that's the lie of the devil, first of all. He comes into your ear and he tries to tell you when you hear the word repent that, "Oh my God, I'm saved. I'm good." The repentance is for that. But sometimes the repentance comes so we can be clean. Clean, washed up. Because I don't want, you can't go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God and have any kind of dirt on you because you'll die. He'll drop dead in his presence. He's a holy God. And this is where I say our familiarity, I think sometimes we get too familiar because we think God's like us. But it's vice versa. We're like him. We are like him. We are to be like him. We are to act like him. And I fall short. I have not achieved it. I'm just saying that's what our model is. Jesus. That's what we're to be like. So, when we hear the word repent, sometimes we're thinking, "Oh, I haven't done anything wrong." Well, you might not have done nothing wrong. I'm not saying you have. All I'm saying is let's just be clean to the Father. Let us be clean so that we can receive that promise that he said we would have. And we have it, you guys. We really do. We have the promise. But you might be on that fence where the devil's lying to you and telling you, "Ah, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't go to church all the time. I still do things wrong. I still, well, you'll do them till Jesus comes, you guys. That's why we need to, Paul says, I die daily. Every day I have to die to my flesh. Every day, because of why? Because every day I do something wrong. Do I do it willingly? No, absolutely not. It's just life, man. Life is what it is. You have things come at you, and you got to be ready, because it's going to come at you real fast. You know what I mean? But when you're prepared, when you know who you are in Jesus, when you know who you are in the promise of God, you can walk victorious. Doesn't mean you're not going to have pain. Doesn't mean you're not... See, this is why I say this. Sometimes I think we get confused sometimes, because when we take salvation, you come to Christ, that it's going to be good. Nothing's going to go wrong. But that's totally the opposite. Everything's going to come against you. But remember, it's not you anymore. It's not about you. It's not you in doing anything anymore. It's the Spirit of God that takes over your life, because we invite Him to take over and live in us and through us. And when we walk in that, we walk in strength. We walk in that power of the promise. See? That's why I was asking, I said it earlier, I was hoping you'd all feel the conviction and break it and everything. Because see, sometimes we have to get broke down to get built back up. I know this to be true in the flesh, because see, my ex-wife used to run me down and tell me I was all these bad things. And the reason why was her problem was me. So I told her I could fix her problem, so I moved out. Because, you know, men, we tend to be problem solvers. We try to solve the problem. So I just moved out. And then shortly after, I met my beloved, and the rest is history. God brought us to this point. It lasted, Portia. It lasted. It's lasted. But I thank God for all this, you guys. I thank God for everything. But I said about repenting. Please get alone for just a second. I know, you know, the restaurants, you know, it's early. It's early. You know, Roman gave me a deadline. He told me I got to hurry, so... But I don't listen to that guy. He's crazy. But anyways, the thing is, you guys, is just get alone with God for just a brief second. As Chris and them bring this song is so beautiful. And I've been listening to it, and it's funny because it just was really going over and over and over. Because a lot of time when we come to God, we want something. We need something. God, you know, Lord, I got this one sick. I got that one sick. And we got all of our problems. And God knows all of our problems, you guys. He knows everything that we're going through. Like I said, I got a brother that's dying of cancer. And I see him every day, and I have to try to uplift him and encourage him, and then walk away. Still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. And I'm like, Lord, I know I fall short, but you are mighty, you are powerful, and you are able to do everything exceedingly above and abundantly, more than what I can ask of you, Father. More than what I ask. There is nothing impossible for my God. Nothing is impossible for my God. So I ask that if you find that tight place, be at the altar, be it at your seat, but take a moment, let this song minister to you. Let this song be your prayer to God.
Caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
Father, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for this day, Father, for the birthing of your church, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the promise, Lord, that you sent. Father, we just thank you, Father, for everything that you do, Lord. And as the song said, Father, I ain't come here, Lord God, asking for anything, Lord. For you've done everything, Lord. You've done enough. Say, Lord, salvation, Lord, is all, Lord God, I could ask of you. The rest, Lord, is just blessing. It's just blessing upon my life, Father. All the rest that you give me. But Father, I pray, Lord, that we can give back, Father, as a church, that we can give back, Lord, and be that witness that you called us to be. Help us to walk stronger, heads up higher, Father. For so much is going on in this world, Father, so much around us, Father, and we see, Father, that the enemy is taking ground, Father. But, Lord, we must know. We have to know, Father, in our hearts and believe. It's over, Lord. He's lost. The enemy has no ground. The devil's roaring like a lion. But Father God, you will raise up a standard against him, Father. That standard, Father, I pray would be the church. The church of the living God. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Father, rise up. Rise up in us, Lord, that we can stand strong and understand and know, Father, that it is not in our abilities. It is nothing about us. We have none. We fall short, Lord, of your glory. We fall short of everything that you do want us to do, Lord. But by your Spirit, Father, and by your mercy and your grace, God, we will overcome. If we walk in the light, we will be the light. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that as your people leave this building today, Father, I pray, Lord, that they leave encouraged, Father. I pray, Lord, that they did not come to listen to this man, but they came to hear you, Father, speak through man and woman. Father, that's what you are. You use us, Lord. We're your tools. We're your vessels, Father. When miracles happen, when things come true to pass, we give you glory, we give you praise, Father, for it's yours. It is you. Solely you, Lord. All deserving. So, Father, I pray, Lord, encouragement for all. This Pentecost Sunday, Father, that we remember who we are and that the promise was given to us believers, to be a witness for Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you for my brothers, my sisters that are here. I thank you, Father, for the visitors that have come. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Have a blessed day, my people. Enjoy.